Today's Bhagavatam class is very short. We're having some local dignitaries meaning representatives of all the different departments of municipal maintenance, fire department, water department, construction, land allocation, everything that's in the local county council, as well as the village council, the mayor. We're explaining to them about our whole sustainability project, the ecological incentives that we're doing here, which is going to be starting with having our own natural sewage treatment plant. It means that all of the sewage, as well as used water in the temple, the farm, the barns, everything will be fed down to what's called a reed filtration system in the valley, which will collect the solids that need to be emptied once a year and purify all the water, which will become so pure that it can be then rechanneled back into the creek as it continues on out of New Brajadam. So, at least to get everyone on board with the concept, we want to introduce to them all the different sustainability projects that we're planning in New Brajadam and get them to appreciate the purpose and the spirit behind the whole thing. So they're here today and tomorrow, and staying for the whole day. Sometime I'll go and meet them as well personally. Anyway, class was therefore short, as they're going to be here already at 9 a.m. and we had to clean up before that. And it was about Lord Nrisimhadeva's appearing out of the pillar to Hiranyakashipu's great surprise. Hiranyakashipu then saw that the Lord Nrisimhadeva was both man and lion, and neither one nor the other. So whereas he had already received a boon from Lord Brahma that he wouldn't be killed by either a man or an animal, he was immediately wonderstruck as to what is this creature. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport spoke about Lord Krishna's omnipotence. Interestingly enough, this morning while I was doing my yoga upon rising, I listened to a class in 1976 in Mayapur, where Srila Prabhupada was also talking about the Lord's omnipotence. That was in regards to the birth of Lord Brahma. It was described how Lord Brahma is born from a lotus that grew from the navel of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. So Srila Prabhupada points out that even though Lakshmi Devi was sitting there massaging the Lord's lotus feet, still he didn't go about conceiving Lord Brahma in the ordinary or the regular way, but rather by manifesting his inconceivable potency, he gave birth to Brahma. And he didn't. He did it from his abdomen. Usually, ladies give birth to children from their abdomen. But he first manifests a lotus, and then within that lotus, Brahma was born. Which is why Lord Brahma is called Aja, or Swayambhu, who has self-born. Anyway, Prabhupada points out in both that lecture as well as in the class that generally people's concept of God's omnipotence is a relative thing. They try to compare it to their own realm of experience and maybe magnify it. In other words, things that people can do or think about, that's sort of the things that God can also do, but maybe on a larger scale. But things that they can't think about, that's beyond their realm of experience, that they can't actually do themselves, that they say is then impossible. But nothing's impossible. Here in this example, it's not impossible that the Lord has the body of a man and the head of a lion. We see that there are material examples of that. Lord Shiva gave Daksha the head of a goat, and Ganesh also, Lord Shiva's son, he also has the head of an elephant. And these are, they're not ordinary persons, but they're not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're living entities within this world, powerful living entities, and it's possible, therefore, for them to have it. Of course, if we talk too much about this type of thing, then modern-day scientists are going to start trying to graft heads of dogs on human beings and so on, because that's the nature of demoniac people. But until they can do it, they'll say it's not possible, and this is just mythology. Prabhupada, in that class I was referring to, he was talking about the Angani Yasya Shakalandiya Vritti Shloka that we sing every morning at Govindam, and he was using the example of prasadam. He said, just like we're offering prasadam to the Lord, and materialistic people are thinking these people are crazy. They're offering opulent, nice foodstuffs to these statues, but it's obvious that nothing's happening. But we retort that no, it's not obvious that nothing's happening, it's obvious that something is happening. What is happening? What is happening is that Krishna is eating with his eyes, he's not eating with his mouth. Because Krishna can eat with his eyes, he can eat with his hands, he can eat with any part of his body. He's not restricted by weekend. We may say, well, that's impossible, but it's not impossible, it's just impossible for us. And then, of course, someone will continue, but isn't it obvious? The food's still there. And we say, the food's still there. But that doesn't mean that it's not eaten. For us, eating something means that the food's not there. But that's just our experience. That's just the way we eat. But it's not the way God eats. When God eats, he eats the food, and at the same time, he can also leave the food, just as in the same way as he can just eat by looking. Sometimes we think that an offering is that Krishna sort of glances over it, and by glancing it, he accepts the devotion that was there. And by the acceptance of that devotion, then the food becomes prasadam. But when Madhavendra Puri saw Gopal eating the food that was being offered, prepared by the Brijvasis, he saw Gopal eating the food, although then he said that, and then Gopal have to replace the food just as it was there before. So offering means that Krishna is actually eating. He's enjoying. Why not? Why shouldn't he eat and we eat? But the difference between his eating and our eating is that he can either eat and it's not there, or he can eat and it stays there. And those people who are very fortunate, for them, Krishna may eat in such a way that the food is then really gone. One of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, his son, and I think it was Raghunandan Thakur, who, when told to make an offering, expected that the Lord would eat the food, just like when he eats, the food also disappears. But of course, he was a pure devotee, a Mahabhagwata, and therefore he threatened Krishna that he would beat him if he didn't eat. And so Krishna then did eat everything. And that appeared to be very astonishing to the father, because when he made an offering, then the offering remained as it was before. So whether Krishna eats it and it disappears, whether he eats it and he replaces it, he's eating in any case. It's just that we don't know how to eat like that. When we eat, then it's gone and there's nothing left. This is Krishna's omnipotency, and we have to become aware of that, we have to appreciate that, and we have to reconcile that with our limited potencies in this world. He has unlimited potencies, parasya shakti ribhai vishuvyate, and therefore we shouldn't be incredulous. Oh, it can't happen. Just like Hiranyakashipu, he was such a demon that he couldn't believe that it could possibly happen. A body of a man and the head of a lion. Therefore, even though it was all the signs of his death, seeing this creature, this living entity, warned him that this was the end of his life, but still he wouldn't believe, and like a demon, he just stuck it out and thought that it's not possible, and therefore he continued to fight, and obviously he fought to his death instead of simply surrendering and giving himself to the Lord, recognizing that if I don't do this, I'm going to die. He went down fighting, but he went down like a fool. We shouldn't be foolish. We shouldn't challenge Krishna's omnipotency. We should accept Krishna's omnipotency, and we should accept that even though it seems, practically speaking, impossible, that by chanting Hare Krishna, our hearts are going to become purified in one lifetime, and we're going to go back home, back to Godhead. We should have no doubt that it is possible, because Abhinatva Namanam, you know, Krishna can make such things happen. Krishna's holy name can make such things happen. And Srila Prabhupada had told us that if we stick to the process, then it will happen. Why? Because Krishna and Krishna's name and the process of devotional service on omnipotent, inconceivable power, and they can bring about the realization of those things that materialistic people do not believe in or cannot understand. So a devotee may leave his body, and his material relatives and friends will look and say, just see, he wasted his whole life in the so-called Krishna consciousness, and what did he get for it? He simply died, maybe he died early, maybe he died untimely, maybe he died some kind of disease, but that is just the external appearance. Actually, simultaneously with that external appearance, the devotee has gone home back to Godhead. Why? Because he had faith in the unlimited power of pure devotional service. Hare Krishna.